Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome everybody to the program Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2024. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Howdy, Tim.
That's it, people. That's a panel right there, three of us.
Huh? And if you're normally disappointed, boy, you're going to be extra disappointed today.
Sometimes we have four. Abraham Hamilton III, by the way, will be with us at the bottom of the hour, and we will talk with him. Not sure exactly what the topic will be, but we'll come up with something for Abe when he's on with us here in just a little bit. I want to encourage people to pray for your granddaughter. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
I know we can't mention every prayer request. We rarely do that because you're just having to be pick and choose,
right?
Among what our prayer requests are. But your little grandbaby, newborn grandbaby, has COVID. Right?
Yes, she's just 3 months old, and she has COVID, and her temperature has been up to 105, and they've given the medications and stuff and brought it. It's 102 and it's bouncing up. Now she's been to the doctor and the doctor said that she seems to be hydrated enough and he's comfortable with her staying with the parents at this time and not being put in the hospital. But yeah, absolutely. Please pray for Evie Lou, Evelyn Louise, our brand new granddaughter. And my understanding is this kind of variant of COVID is worse on babies under 1 year old and especially under 6 months.
But 105 is like, if you do that with an adult, you got to be in the hospital, and that's like very dangerous.
It is very dangerous. And 105 is high for children, but children do seem to have a little more tolerance for higher fevers. But it's still, when I got the text that the baby's fever was 105, my heart sank. So obviously our family's been praying lot. And
pray for Evie Lou.
Yep,
Vitagliano.
Evelyn Louise Vitagliano, my son and daughter-in-law. And thank you, folks. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. I didn't ask you if I could mention that, so I'm sorry I sprung it on you.
No, that's fine.
We need prayers for that little baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right there. All right, tell folks how they can join us on the internet if they want to.
Yes, you have a number of options if you want to watch the live video stream for this show and other shows. You can watch the live video stream on our streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. For this particular program, you can also watch on Facebook if you search for Today's Issues. And on YouTube, if you search for Today's Issues Live, if you want to watch American Family Radio on X, formerly known as Twitter, you search for American Family Radio. And whatever program is live at that time, which is the case right now with Today's Issues, you'll be able to watch it on X as well.
All right, Fred, first story.
Well, we have been talking this week about women's basketball. And in particular, the game that was it Monday night, I believe it was.
Monday night, Iowa and LSU.
Iowa and LSU. By the way, the latest viewership numbers, 12.5 million watched that game. It's breaking all records.
Yeah, most watched college women's game ever.
Yes.
Go ahead, Ed. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I thought I read something that it might have been the high, I'm going to double check, highest basketball game viewership.
Yep. On ESPN, I think.
On ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we've also mentioned there was a bit of a controversy when the LSU Tigers, during the playing of the national anthem, they were not on the floor. The Iowa team was, but the LSU team was not. Well, the governor of Louisiana is not happy about that, and he put out a message on X. I'm going to read it for you. He says, my mother coached women's high school basketball during the height of desegregation. No one has a greater respect for the sport and for Coach Mulkey, coach of the LSU team. However, above respect for that game is a deeper respect for those who serve to protect us and unite us under one flag. It is time that all college boards, including region, put a policy in place that student athletes be present for the national anthem or risk their athletic scholarship. This is a matter of respect that all collegiate coaches should instill.
Governor's name is
Landry. The governor's name is Jeff Landry. Yes.
Jeff Landry.
Yes.
Well, okay, so the response from Coach
Mulkey,
she's a tremendous college basketball coach. I mean, she's won multiple national championships. She says it was unintentional.
Yes.
Okay, it was not a protest that they weren't out on the floor. Okay, and I'll just take her at her word that was part of their routine, that is to go back to the dressing room and stay in the dressing room, I guess, until near game time. But I also agree with the governor right here on two things. One is, if the coach didn't know, she should have known, and she should have had her team out there. Because this is a big, high-profile event, okay? This isn't just a game three of the regular season. This is what turned out to be the most watched college women's game in history. And so, I mean, the television is on the national anthem and on what's happening on the court. And it's like LSU's AWOL over here. Why wasn't LSU out here? Which made people begin to suspect, okay, we got Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick response to the national anthem. They're dissing our country, okay? That's what a lot of people thought when they didn't see LSU out there, when they learned LSU wasn't out there. So, but I'll just take her at her word. It was a mistake, and or at least it was unintentional. Now, but the governor's saying, listen, you get a scholarship from the state of Louisiana, you will have your fanny out there, and you will be standing for the national anthem, or you risk having that scholarship revoked. And I agree with him 100% on that. At all sporting events everywhere, we've always had the national anthem played before the game, and the players, just like the fans, stand, and if you got a hat on, you put it over your heart, you know, if you remember to.
Right.
But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a unifying factor, and you're honoring, as the governor said, you're honoring those who've gone before us who paid the price for our freedom and liberties that allow us to be at a sporting event like this. So I agree with him and with the governor there of Louisiana.
I think that schools probably have all sorts of regulations about, I mean, what kind of sneakers what you can wear.
Yeah.
You can't have an armband on unless it's approved prior. You can't, you know, have a sticker on your uniform advertising a company that you own stock. There's all kinds of restrictions and regulations. So for the folks who say, well, free speech, they get to determine, well, okay, then you're going to have to get rid of all regulations. If you're going to be able, if you have the right as a school or as a state to regulate many of the things that go on the court while you're representing your state school, then I think this is a fair
to
regulate.
You don't have to sing, you know, the national anthem or anything, and you can hold your own political views, but you do have to stand.
Right.
You do have to stand out of respect for our country.
Yes. And I would say also that the reason a lot of these young people and a fairly small percentage of NFL players, but it was certainly enough to make everybody angry at the NFL in the Colin Kaepernick days. I fault the education system in this country. Not everybody, folks, please understand. But there are a lot of people who are teaching our young people that our country is garbage and that our country is evil and its founders were evil and nobody should like America or respect America. And that is showing up in these kinds of displays. Now, again, there are people who hold those views. I understand not everyone agrees, but we don't teach civics anymore. We don't teach the truth about this country's founding in a lot of ways, and we certainly don't teach these young people to value the liberties that we have, and standing
old fashioned patriotism.
Yes,
it shouldn't be old fashioned. It should always be in fashion.
And standing for the national anthem is the least you can do. If you're on a basketball team on a state school or state school, and you're getting a scholarship, they absolutely have the right to tell you to regulate your behavior when you are on the court representing the school.
So, anyway,
it'll be interesting to see what happens there with the governor taking the stand that he is. And of course, I guess this would have to go through the legislature if you're going to lose scholarships for behavior like this, one would assume.
I'm just going to be honest. I have a hard. I understand what you're saying.
Don't be dishonest.
Yes.
We want you to be honest.
I will choose to give the coach the benefit of the doubt on this and to believe what she said. But I have a hard time believing that the students, the players, accidentally were not on the court.
Iowa was.
Yeah. This is a big deal. You go out for warm-ups, all that kind of stuff. I just have a hard time believing that this was an accident on the part of the
because team. You stand for the national anthem, and I doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything that's going on in a country of 330 million people all the time. That's just ridiculous. That's why, to me, the idea of kneeling and protesting. Maybe if Colin Kaepernick, remember the quarterback 8-10 years ago, whenever he did that, wanted to do it one time to make a point about something. But this ongoing, now it's not in the NFL anymore that I've seen, maybe one or two players, but it's the NFL got the word, you continue this stuff, it's going to hurt your business.
Okay? Right.
Money is going to be impacted because people aren't going to come or watch the games, not as many people. And that's and it kind of faded away. So anyway, that's nobody suggesting that that's what the LSU women's players did here in this situation. But honoring our country by standing for the national anthem is what everybody should do, and that's been the tradition of our country forever. All right, next story, Fred.
Well, for our next story, we go across the Pacific to Taiwan, where a strongest earthquake in a quarter century rocked Taiwan this morning, 7.4 on the Richter scale. And we mention Richter scale every time there's an earthquake. 7.4 is up there, extremely strong. So far, authorities are reporting 9 people died. And understand what I'm saying. It was not in a heavily populated area. The center of this was in the mountainous Hulin County. And if I'm saying that wrong, I do apologize.
You're saying it right.
93 miles. That's 93 miles away from the capital of Taipei. Just been watching images in the last few minutes that are coming out of Taipei. And we have images in our story that's on our website, afn.net. We're talking about 10-story buildings, folks, that are now leaning about 45 mm-hmm. degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely amazing that the death toll is not more than this. They say it's over 900 people that are injured. But this earthquake apparently occurred about the center of it was about 11 miles offshore and about 21 miles deep. That's where it was. And among those who were died were people who were hiking in the mountains and that sort of thing. But 7.4 on the Richter scale is mighty, mighty strong.
Yeah, that's a big, big earthquake. And you're saying, I'm surprised no more than that died.
Yes.
And of course, the death toll may rise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I saw those pictures of those high skyscrapers, basically.
Yes.
You know, leaning, maybe not skyscrapers.
I'm looking at some
New York style.
Look like apartment buildings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People trying to get out, walking down these really steep angles, hallways.
7 point, what did you say?
7.4.
7.4.
Now, that's the Richter scale is 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. So we're talking about a stout shaking.
And there's a big difference like between 5 and 7. It's like exponential increase.
Right.
So we're talking very strong. And so we come back home here, and this front that went through the United States yesterday through the center part of the United States. Now, death toll very, very small so far, but the damage that's been caused in states like Ohio and Kentucky and West
Virginia. Is that where the tornadoes were yesterday?
That's where, yes, okay. Most of those tornadoes. We're just looking at images once again now of houses being damaged. Tens of thousands of people, I think in West Virginia, over 70,000 people without power. So this went through our state, Mississippi, kind of for the most part escaped any serious damage. The worst seemed to be the further north you went with this one,
right.
the worse it became. And all of this is going to transition into a snowstorm in the northeast. They're expecting 12 to 14 inches of snow in places like New Hampshire.
Wow.
So this is a massive storm. Like I say, I think for the most part, power outages, yes, property damage, but there could have been much stronger tornadoes that do very serious damage. But
wow, happy April to the people of New England.
Oh, I know.
You think spring is maybe right around the corner and they're going to get 12 to 14 inches. Well, it was supposed to be bad enough here in Mississippi where, again, where our headquarters is and our flagship station for American Family Radio. So we sent the staff home right around just after lunch to make sure that they weren't out driving where they were expecting possibility.
So they let schools out too.
And hail, let the schools out. But we did, for the most part, escape it here. But then, as you said, it picked up when it went north of us.
I think the contrast in temperatures was greater up north with that system, and that's what caused the problems.
Hey, speaking of international news, they have in Israel,
yes,
what happened yesterday, very unfortunate. Israeli Israeli forces mistargeted some international aid workers, vehicles.
Yes.
And were seven killed?
Seven.
Seven were killed. And it's causing, like Israel needed any more PR problems around the world, okay? Now, they don't have PR problems with me.
Right.
But I'm talking about with a lot of people, the support for Israel is gone away or waning, and now they have this happen where they mistakenly hit these innocent people thinking they were enemy combatants. And Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, says it's unfortunate. I'm not quoting him directly, but he did say this kind of thing does happen in war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. You know, that those kind of we've all heard the stories of friendly fire in warfare. So it does happen, but it couldn't come at a worse time right now for Israel.
Especially when, because of the way Hamas conducts its activities, it's aggressive violence against Israel, because they embed themselves with civilians, it makes the confusion that much greater and the possibility of these kinds of accidents much greater as well. I mean, a battlefield, you know, you've all heard the expression the fog of war when it comes to what's happening on a battlefield. That's bad enough knowing who's where, as you said, Tim, friendly fire. But you then pick up that fog of war and put it in a city environment, it gets very difficult to tell who's who. But that is part of the tactic of Hamas.
Listen, in trying to sort out all this in Israel, it seems to me that if Hamas wants a ceasefire, they could let the hostages go that they've held. They took hostages on that day in October last year, and they've still got over how many? Over 100?
Just over 100, yes.
Some of them are Americans?
Yes. Five, I believe, are Americans.
So, really, you don't even talk to me about what Israel should or shouldn't do until Hamas releases the hostages that they have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they slaughtered. Remember, you have to go back in this and remember that Hamas slaughtered, butchered 1,100 or 1,200 people.
1,200 men, women, and children.
On one day.
Yes.
And
the most brutal fashion.
Oof. And that's what's, and then they took hostages. Some of them have been released. So they've held those hostages. What are we looking at now? Is this
180 days? It's 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
6 months. So I don't know why the world isn't condemning Hamas, saying you must release the hostages. Why aren't there protests out there? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Protests for that. It seems like everything's supposed to be on Israel to stop the war.
Right.
Effort. So anyway, but they did have that mishap.
Yes. It's sad, and sadly it happens in war.
Right.
You will remember when Joe Biden executed the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. The world's media has just turned against Israel even long before this incident.
Yes.
We're just seeing story after story. But remember what happened when Joe Biden was withdrawing our troops out of Afghanistan. What happened then? There was a family with their kids that was bombed.
Right.
And then the loss of American soldiers' life at the airport.
Yeah. Right.
But the mainstream media kind of excused Biden on that.
Right.
You know, oh, sorry, it just happened. But this happens in Israel, and I look at Associated Press, MSNBC, CNN every day. You would not believe how they're going on and on and on, as if Israel did this deliberately.
Yeah. It's, anyway.
Yeah. Right, in a related story, we talked about this yesterday on the program, that Biden had invited a group of Muslim leaders to the White House last night for the kind of wrap-up Ramadan event. And other years they have shown up. Last night, they did not. They were invited to the White House for this Ramadan event, these Muslim leaders, and they did not. In fact, the only people that showed up were people who work for the Biden administration who happen to be Muslims. They say they're upset because they feel that the Biden administration has too much support for Israel, and they want that to stop. And this is just an extension of what Biden and the Democrats are facing. We've talked about what happened in Michigan when he was up there a few weeks ago.
Where, so so they're supposed to have a lot of Muslims at a dinner or something?
An iftar dinner. It's the wind up of the Ramadan
season,
yes.
Which is a Muslim holiday season, right? The number one Muslim holiday season. I don't know when it starts or when it ends. Ramadan is what they call it, but, so they did. So, but what, here's the thing with respect to presidential politics, what are they going to do? They're going to vote for RFK or Trump? Huh?
Yeah.
Where are they going to go?
Well, we've seen what they've done in the primaries. They've written in something else. They're not supporting Biden. This is what happened in Michigan a few weeks ago in their primary.
Yeah. Well, what are you looking up there, brother?
Well, I was just looking up to see which president hosted the first Ramadan iftar dinner to celebrate Ramadan. I was trying to find out if it was
probably Bush.
If it was George W. Bush after we went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan. But it looks like it started in 1996 when Hillary Clinton hosted a Ramadan Eid celebration dinner, and Bill Clinton did the same thing. So I thought it might have been Bush, but I don't think it was.
All right, we're going to take a timeout right here. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us in just a few minutes.
By the way, Trump did not host an iftar dinner at the White House in 2017.
In 2017, what about the other years?
He reestablished it in 2018 and 2019.
Trump did. Okay. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. And this show, I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. We thank you again for tuning in each and every day. If you want to send us an email, it needs to be positive and encouraging. We call that a K-Love email here because K-Love Radio Network bills themselves as positive and encouraging. And I'm not saying they're not. I'm saying that we want an email.
We want the same treatment.
That's right. You're going to take time to email us? It needs to be affirming.
Yes.
Huh? All right. If you want to send a negative and discouraging email to us, who can they send that to?
Brent, what's your email address?
Brent Creeley, our producer. He likes reading those things, you know, to bring him down during the day. So if you want to use our email address to send us an email, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net is our email address. All right, is Abraham Hamilton III on yet? You haven't heard from him? We're working on it. We're working on hearing from him.
I think there's some technical difficulties.
Oh, okay, technical difficulties. And what follows that phrase, Fred, usually, is beyond our control.
Yes. Huh? Beyond our control under normal circumstances.
We are experiencing technical difficulties beyond our control. Well, while we wait on Abe there, speaking of that, I'm upset by this new technology that has to do with you have to find a certain spot to get your soap on your hands in the restroom. Then you have to hit the certain spot to get the water to come out.
Yes.
Spout.
I'm with you. I hear you, brother. You preach.
You and I are together on this. I don't know where Fred stands on this.
He's
and
Canadian.
Then, after 5 minutes of messing with the soap and the water, trying to find the perfect spot for it to come out, then you got to find the perfect spot on the what?
The paper towels.
Paper towels. So I spent 17 minutes the other day washing my hands.
And trying to.
You know what? I'm tired of it.
Yes.
I'm not going to take it anymore.
You know,
but there's now a reason why they're supplying nice music.
Yes. Yeah, we do have nice music in our restrooms.
It brings the tension down.
Yep, no, it doesn't.
Right. We got waterfall music. We got spa music. We
little
got
all birds.
Birds listen, chirping.
There are some technological achievements that do not have to be improved upon.
Thank you.
Okay. When you have reached the stage,
yes,
where you pull a lever up,
yes,
and water comes out,
yes,
stop. That's it. Okay? You have reached the pinnacle.
Yeah, because you're overthinking this thing.
You are overthinking
it. If you have to try to improve on what you just described,
yes,
that is a water faucet, a sink.
Yes.
And you got a little knob.
You got a handle.
A handle.
Water comes out, down, the water stops. Okay. You can even turn to the right or to the left for hot or cold water.
Yes.
Furthermore, okay, so you just got me wound up.
No, I'm with you. I think
all
this needs to be said.
All the bathrooms in this building, the settings on the faucets where you're supposed to put your hands under are different.
Yes. And so, we have a new building here. And we're appreciative of it. It's paid for.
And I'm tired of it. I want a new building. I want a newer one.
I don't think we can build a new building just because. Maybe we can find a way to get the, you know, get the faucets. Is that what you would call
it? Yeah, just water faucets. So upstairs where our offices are, the sensor is on the back side of the faucet.
Right.
On this floor.
Somebody twisted did that.
They're on the top of the, underneath of the faucet. So you may sit there and wave your hands under the faucet, and you're not getting any water. You have to go towards the back of it. It's ridiculous.
You don't have to have a new building, though, Ed.
Yeah.
Because there's now high-tech outhouses.
High-tech outhouses.
That's another technology that does not need to be improved. Okay?
Well, I agree. I had to get that off my chest because, and you did too, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you and I are together on
this. I'm going to tell you, one more quick thing. And I don't want to be too graphic here, folks, so I'm going to make this as vague as possible. But you mentioned the toilets, okay? I'm tired of getting sucked in, okay?
That was a little graphic.
Okay.
Probably inappropriate.
Yeah, it's probably inappropriate. I'll stop there.
I tell you, don't send damn emails about Ed's
send
comments
to
me
because
I didn't
Brent.
Say them.
Huh? All right. Go ahead.
I would think the vast majority of our audience is in agreement. I get tired of waving my hand.
Yes. You have to find the perfect spot.
And to dry your hands. Your hands are wet. You want to dry them.
Yes.
And you got to keep going like this.
Waving your hands.
And you just want a paper towel.
I think these are made in China.
Right.
They're made in China.
Oh, so this is China doing this to us?
I think they're trying to drive us crazy. And you know what?
Well.
You're working. It's working.
Well, I'm sitting here with the president of the organization and the vice president
Of
the organization.
Listen, we have a beautiful new building here.
Yes. Amen.
At campus, and we are thankful to God and our supporters because we needed it. We had a 40-year-old building that was falling apart, okay, and we were about to slide off into the neighborhood down there.
Yes.
Weren't we?
Yes.
That's right.
That's true.
We're not kidding.
No.
And the president of the ministry had garbage cans in his office to catch the leaks when it rained.
Because
the leaks could not be fixed.
I did. I had a waterfall. If it rained, I had a waterfall.
Yeah. Or so the raccoons in the roof.
Yeah, so I put my plastic garbage can under there to catch the water.
Right.
But anyway.
Tim Wildman, I want to introduce you to these folks who are visiting. The garbage
can? So we needed a new place, and we got a new place. It's just that this new – and you find this everywhere you go. This new idea of having to find the magic spot to get water or soap to come out before you can wash your hands.
One last
it's
thing.
Just wrong.
I put my hand to get the soap. Okay, we know Abe's ready, okay? All right? I got to get this off my chest.
Yes, you go.
I wave my hand under to get the soap. I get frustrated. I pull my hand away. Then the soap comes out. I'm telling you, folks.
That's what's it.
Well, you pressed a button. And
I think it needs to be a presidential campaign issue.
It needs to be said.
Somebody needs to talk about it.
That's right.
All right.
By the way, if you go to Bucky's, you don't have that problem.
No. Well, they got.
What, they got just handles in the faucets?
Yes. And they got people there to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. They have the cleanest bathrooms in America.
That's right.
All right. So I think we need to have a little moment of peace and quiet to separate us from the next segment here.
Yeah.
Because we were on a rant roll right there.
Brent, go get me a slice of pizza.
So, is he gone? Is Abe gone?
He disappeared for a minute. Give me a second. We'll get him back.
Oh, yeah, heard that one before. But anyway, Brent Creeley, our producer.
All right.
I think Abe got tired of us talking about, our issues with the sinks.
To our listeners, if you're pro-censor people, okay.
How you mean the word sensor?
They like the sensors on the water.
Oh, not censorship.
Not censorship. Then, we just need to learn to, get along and agree to disagree.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe you have a story we can, or are we just going to wait for Abe?
Well, if Abe comes on, we'll
include him.
Donald Trump had a couple of good days on the campaign trail. Yesterday he was in Michigan. Which is one of those swing states, and also in Wisconsin. While he was in Michigan, he had a lot to say about the crisis at our southern border, and he says it's all about Joe Biden's decision to open up this country to an invasion. Cut number one.
I stand before you today to declare that Joe Biden's border bloodbath, and that's what it is. It's a bloodbath. They tried to use that term incorrectly on me 2 weeks ago. You know, it's all about misinformation. If you want to help Joe Biden wheel Granny off the cliff to fund government benefits for illegals, then vote for crooked Joe Biden. But when I am president, instead of throwing Granny overboard, I will send Joe Biden's illegal aliens back home. We have an empty podium right here to my right. You know what that is? That's for Joe Biden. I'm trying to get him to debate. I'm calling on Crooked Joe to debate anytime, any place. We'll do it anywhere you want, Joe.
He's sounding more like a prize fighter now.
Oh, he is.
Huh? Like some, he's ready to put on the boxing gloves or
WWE
something.
WWE promoter, yeah. Or anytime, any place.
Well, he's highlighting the overarching theme there. He's highlighting Biden's number one problem with American voters right now.
Yes.
And that is the letting millions of people in here.
And you know what? That's
illegally.
That's surprising to me that that's the number one issue.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would be the economy and the inflationary pressure.
Economy and inflation is number two. But let me tell you who I don't like that this is the number one issue. It shouldn't be, because Biden shouldn't have done what he did.
Right.
That is destroy our border. Intentionally,
right?
You know what he did it for? Just to say I'm not like Trump. So I'm just going to everything Trump did to control our border, Biden got rid of in the name of stopping the bigotry.
Yes,
and that's what he said. So, and they bragged about it
right
early on, but now it's a number one. But you know who he needs to thank? Who Donald Trump needs to thank is Greg Abbott.
Oh, yes, in terms of making this an issue that even affects blue cities and blue states. Yes.
Governor of Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also Ron DeSantis of Florida.
Governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, same thing. He said, and we got another story involving Governor DeSantis. Is Abe there? Abraham Hamilton III now joins us. Abe is a constitutional attorney, and he's the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here on American Family Radio from 5 to 6 o'clock Central. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
How's it going, brother? Or should I ask?
Going well. Just trying to get the technology coordinated, but
are you on your cell?
We got it going.
You're on your cell phone now.
Now I am. Yeah, Comrex wasn't working this morning for some reason.
Comrex, for those who don't know, is a portable piece of equipment that allows us to broadcast from somewhere, and it sounds like we're in the studio.
Yeah.
So, but that's not working right now. Kind of like our faucets around here with these automatic. we already did that.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
But I'm so going at it again. But we need
it
to get
deserved round two.
Yes.
Anyway, Abe, are you surprised that illegal immigration is the number one political issue in the presidential campaign right now?
Well, first, if I heard you right, did I hear you say that Mr. Trump needs to thank Ron DeSantis for something?
Well, I know that'll never happen. But
no, you said Greg Abbott.
I did say Greg Abbott. Yeah. Greg Abbott, I think Greg Abbott first and foremost, because he is the one who had the idea that I probably got it from me, honestly, because I was the one who had it first.
You were the first one I heard suggest.
Yeah, and that is to take these people coming here illegally and take them to New York.
Yeah.
And Washington, D.C. and Chicago.
And he did it. He sent it.
And Abbott did it. Yeah, he sent them. And now, again, Governor Abbott of Texas did not force these people on the buses. They wanted to go. Why? Because New York pays for everything once you get there. If you can come to America, if you can get to New York, Chicago illegally, crossing our border, and you can make it to those cities, then you have, they'll take care of you. So that's the incentive why these people are going to these big cities like that. But Governor Abbott of Texas and Governor DeSantis of Florida said, listen, and the governor of Arizona did this too prior to changing from Republican to Democrat. They basically said, we're going to share the love with America and let you know how we feel down here.
Right.
Because we're having to absorb all these folks, and you're telling us if we don't absorb everybody and take care of everybody, we're bigots and racist and xenophobes.
Yeah.
And so Governor Abbott said, okay, then there, here you go. And then Mayor Adams of New York said, whoa, we didn't really No, we didn't really want to mean. We didn't really mean that. We didn't want to feel all that pain. is what happened. But anyway, are you surprised that that's the number one issue right now? Because the mainstream media, they cover for Biden as much as they possibly can.
No, I'm not surprised about it. I mean, there are other issues that should be equally given attention. But no, I'm not surprised about it. Surprised by it because people are experiencing real impact from it on the ground, you know, in terms of housing, in terms of employment. You know, there's great competition for some of the jobs, especially in many of the inner city communities around the country. And combining that with the way that not the mainstream media, but you do have alternative media outlets that are covering it. I know I cover it on the Hamilton Corner extensively to highlight the fact that it's not something that's happening accidentally. This is actually the intentional policy prerogatives of the current administration.
Hey, switching gears a little bit, but staying with the world of politics, Abe, we were talking about this at a meeting you and I were in the other day. Looking ahead to 2025, after the presidential election is over, and we know who the winner will be, either Biden or Trump, right? I mean, it's going to be one or the other. So how many Supreme Court justices do you think the next president or the next presidential term, the next 4 years from 25 to 29, no, 25 to 28, 25 to 28, well, whatever it is, four years.
Yeah.
Well, how many you think we're going to have? How many Supreme Court justices are going to retire during that period?
I mean, it's not that I want this to happen,
okay,
but it's very, very reasonably likely that you have at least two, if not three. You know, Justice Thomas has talked about wanting to retire. Justice Alito's name has been discussed quite frequently. They're both in their 70s.
We cannot lose those.
Unless they're replaced by a Republican.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not that I want this to happen.
Right.
You know, it's not only the potential of losing them, but replacing them with someone equally committed to constitutional fidelity. You know, it is the unfortunate reality that Republican presidential nominations have not always been very, very, very solidly faithful to strict constructionist originalist interpretation of the Constitution. But for some reason, though, whenever Democrat presidents appoint Supreme Court nominees, they all tend to be committedly anti-Constitution, unfortunately. So that is a very, very precarious situation. And I think that the American people should consider greatly as we go to the polls this fall.
We got Justice Alito. He was appointed by who?
George W. Bush.
Samuel Alito was. So George W. Bush deserves credit for that appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Clarence Thomas, who was appointed by George H.W. Bush, right?
Yes.
So he, of course, he's deceased, but he deserves. So the Bushes deserve credit for Alito and Thomas for those appointments. And those are the two very best Supreme Court justices we've had in the last 30 years, with the exception of Scalia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Justice.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Scalia.
I would agree with that.
Okay, now
George W. Bush also gave us John Roberts, too. So,
Duly noted. And something happens. A lot of these Supreme Court justices who go on the court, they have a record of being conservative and trustworthy on that. And then they get on the court and they get Potomac fever or something like that. Yeah, they start going to the Washington cocktail parties and they just sort of drift to the center, sometimes even left of that. Anyway, so I say that to say the presidential election this fall will be very crucial to the what the Supreme Court of the United States looks like in the next 4-8 years. Because whoever appoints the justice, they're likely to appoint like a 45 or 50-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and
I think you do right by pointing that out, too, because there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of heightened rhetoric, there's a lot of hyperbole that goes into presidential campaigns. But when we get down to brass tacks, we really need to think soberly about this when we consider the fact that the next president will very possibly have the opportunity to appoint two, maybe three Supreme Court justices, that is something that is vitally important for our country.
Who is the third, Abe? I know you mentioned Justices Thomas and Alito, but you said there's twice the third. Are you talking about maybe Sotomayor because of health concerns?
Yes, that's exactly right. There are some health concerns with Justice Sonia Sotomayor, and there's some people from the left who even have attempted to encourage her to resign now so that Mr. Biden could appoint her replacement. So it is because of her health concerns that I keep saying potentially three, depending on how her health holds up.
Well, you know, that's not a bad idea, politically and strategically speaking. For the left, is if you get her, Sotomayor, to retire, then Biden can appoint a Supreme Court justice and have it confirmed by the Democrats who control the Senate, who is 30 years younger than Sotomayor. And so that wouldn't be that. That's what they wanted Ruth Bader Ginsburg to do during the Obama years. You remember? They wanted her to retire.
Oh, yeah.
So they could appoint a much younger version of her, but she didn't do it. And as a result, she died during Trump's presidency, and he appointed,
Amy Coney Barrett, wasn't it?
To replace her.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't hope that happens, but that is strategically.
It's part of the calculation that's made during an election year.
Yes, yes. So, anyway. Well, listen, Abe, what's coming up this afternoon on your show?
I'm going to have the opportunity to interview Dr. Cal Beisner, who is the founder of the Cornwall Alliance. I'm going to talk realism concerning the climate catastrophism and the climate alarmism, and to compare that to science and objective facts and see where things fall.
Yeah. Also, ask him his opinion on these automated sinks. because,
you know, they're there because you got to get to net zero by 2050, Tim, you know, net zero.
Well, you got to find the perfect spot for it to send you the water, and then it gives you about 10 seconds of water.
And I'm just going to be honest.
Do it again.
I'm not going to be here in 2050. Yeah. I don't care.
You don't care? I didn't care about the planet.
I don't care about the getting to net zero.
No, he didn't care. That's a drink anyway.
That's right.
It's like a Diet Coke. It's a net zero.
Net zero.
Huh. All right. Thank you, A. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Am I right? I think I'm right. I think that's
I think
drink.
There is a net zero. I'm not sure.
I think it means calories.
Yes.
Not like...
not carbon emission.
You drink a net zero that's for carbon emissions, you are going to have to go to the hospital.
Probably going
to
have a taste problem involved there. Although, you know what? I'm just backing off because we're slipping towards that kind of discussion where I don't know when to shut up.
Right. So, does Diane tell you this?
Yes, she does. Don't say it. Well, I used to run when I was preaching, pastoring a church part-time while I worked here.
Yeah.
I would run jokes by her when I was preparing. Say, I'm going to open up with this joke. And she would go, no. First of all, most of the time she said, well, that's just not funny. But then other times she said, no, you can't say that.
Right.
No, you can't. So I listened to my wife.
Right.
And it saved myself much embarrassment. But she's not here on this show.
Right,
that's what worries
right, right.
Me.
That's
so let it go, Ed.
Yes,
that's why you're just, you're free range.
Yes. Free range meatball is what I am.
You just did an ethnic slur on yourself. You know
that,
right?
If I had a CB radio, that would be my handle.
Meatball.
Free range meatball.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. So we're just about at the end of the program.
Well, this hour.
This hour. Give us a good word. Fred, where are you in your daily Bible reading or study now?
You still teach Sunday school?
No, not right now. But I'm in Hebrews, and just enjoying the initial chapter.
I wish I were. I'm in Ezekiel, and I can't wait to get through with it.
No, I'm in year two. I don't go through the Bible in a year. I've done that before, but this time I'm just going through kind of systematically and
you don't feel rushed. You don't have to feel rushed.
No. And I like to stop and read the commentaries.
Yeah.
and kind of just dig in a little bit more. But you guys know this. You can go through the Bible year after year after year, and every time you see something new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And something that just resonates at that moment that is so important with going on, what's going on in the world, what maybe is going on in your life.
Right.
And God just gives it to you.
And the Holy Spirit really is a gift from God.
Absolutely.
He's described as a gift from God.
Yes.
And he really is, because he does do that with the scriptures.
Yes. I've read it before, but this time,
yeah,
it just rings.
Amen.
Amen. When you are going through the Old Testament, sometimes it seems like it goes on forever.
Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel are just hard to listen to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, there are some lessons there.
Right.
And
a little bit of encouragement.
Namely, God is ticked on a consistent basis at the rebellious, sinful actions of the Israeli, of the Hebrews.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hebrews.
Uh-huh.
That for some reason won't quit.
Yes.
I've just synopsized those books, right?
That's right.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.